Hey everybody, it's Riza Tante, the one and only, here in Mexico live with you. Hey everybody, it's Riza Tante, the one and only, here with you live in Medellin, Colombia.
Happy Halloween, coming in live in Seoul, South Korea. Konnichiwa, and Merry Christmas from Tokyo, Japan.
What is up, my beautiful people? So excited. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you the dirty deeds of my bad relationship with money and how I got my car, yes, my car, repossessed at the age of 26. Surprise, I'm a little older than you think. So I was finally realizing how my self-worth and my relationship, my beliefs about money were dictating my life. Really excited to share this with you. It's a little vulnerable, so be ready. Let's go. Hey, so glad you are listening to this episode, as I'm going to share, like I said in the beginning of this episode, how I got my car repossessed at the age of 26. I think it was 26 or 25. I think it was 26. And I remember when I was sitting in a cubicle and I was sitting there day in and day out watching the airplanes go by and just felt really miserable. And that's when I took the leap and I was like, screw this, I'm not going to be in this position anymore. And anyways, fast forward to the time that I got my car repossessed, I just stopped making payments on it because I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to change my life and I want to travel and this is ridiculous. Like, this is not how life is meant to be, at least for me personally. And I want to share with you that I felt called to be an entrepreneur years ago after I got my psychology degree, because when I received that, I was like, so I worked this hard for a piece of paper, and this paper doesn't actually guarantee me a six-figure job and something that's consistent right after university. Now, obviously, if you're a lawyer, doctor, all that stuff, that is a guarantee to a certain extent if you pursue those high-paying positions. But for me, I was like, I wanted the time and freedom to travel and to not be locked down in a cubicle and be told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And as you can see, I'm very fiery and fiery about this because I was like, this is just not how life is supposed to be. So when that was happening, I was also frustrated because I knew there were people my age building successful businesses without a degree. Now, I understand that some of us were not meant to be entrepreneurs, but if you're listening to this podcast, I'm hoping you're an entrepreneur because this is who it's meant for. And I want to remind you that whether that your money got into collections or your car got repossessed or you filed bankruptcy, know that that's not your forever. It's just temporary. And I remember I was working with a client this summer or a few months ago in July, and it was really unfortunate because she had an event that she was hoping that a lot of people were going to come to and attend, and unfortunately it got canceled because something, I don't remember. And I was coaching her through the process and how she just felt so defeated because there were so many things that were coming at her and just destroying her opportunity of being a very successful entrepreneur. And mind you, she was very successful in her business. She hosted a lot of events and did other things. And it was just amazing to me to sit there in front of her and just see the resilience in her. And on top of that, I'm discussing how she had to file bankruptcy. And I was like, wow, I can't believe that. You know, there's tons of people that go through that, but they don't speak it. They don't share it because they're embarrassed or they don't want other people to know. But I of course, for confidential reasons, I'm not going to share who specifically. But even in that sense, it's important to understand that if you're listening to this, know that's totally normal in the entrepreneur world. Like, it's really interesting to talk to my entrepreneur friends and be like, oh yeah, like I got, you know, kicked out of my apartment, or I had to file a bankruptcy, or I had to do this. And it's like, but those are entrepreneur personalities. You know, they're willing to take the risk because they would rather pursue what they're really excited about and passionate about than to sit to a 9-to-5 cubicle job that's boring and waste their life away for 20 years. Like, it's a new generation. It's a new it's just a new way of living. And once people start waking up to that, it's like, whoa. Now, nonetheless, we do need people in cubicles and we do need people to run certain systems and things in our corporate world. There's nothing wrong about that. I'm not saying that. But for you, if you are someone that feels so driven to be an entrepreneur, it is your time to do it. Because let me tell you, you have so much more life to live. And when you don't live it, you're being cruel to yourself. Like, you're being cruel to the idea that you're not pursuing something that you've always wanted. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm a different person in that sense, but I'm going on a tangent and this is not really relevant to what you're talking about. So originally, like I said, I got my car repossessed and yeah, it sucked and I felt horrible about it. But then, as I said before, as I was talking to other entrepreneurs, like, yo, girl, like, chill out. It's totally normal. It's fine. I was like, okay, great. So, but this is what I realized, that in entrepreneurship, it's such a test about your mindset, your beliefs, and your ability to create something in the world. And for me, I was like, okay, this is happening, but this is not forever, and that's okay. But I also realized my money story and how I was abusing my money, like, horribly. And, you know, I was just racking up credit cards and not really thinking consciously of where my money was going. And I was actually using money to see men that I was interested in at the time. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm putting them as a priority. And instead, I should put me first. And on top of that, I was, like I said, shredding money like it was no big deal. And that's when I realized, like, having a relationship with money is real too. So however you take care of it and however you manage it demonstrates your relationship with money. But I am also saying that you shouldn't be a hoarder. Like, you should also have the ability to think of it as an investment, whatever you use the money for, right? And why I'm bringing this up, I keep saying that, but it's just being aware of what your money relationship is right now so that you can clean it up for 2020 and the new decade that is to come. And it's not easy, because let me tell you something. Once you hit 35, there's an article or research that says that when you're around that age, it's a lot harder to change your neural pathways in your brain. And so the more ingrained that you are about a certain belief, the more it's difficult to actually change that. And I recently finished my neurolinguistic programming certification. And for those that don't know what that is, go ahead and check it out. But I was like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. Like, our experiences are basically stacked up and they turn into our beliefs. And so how you change your relationship with money is to first assess it. Like, first recognize, like, what are you doing with your money? What does your bank account say? What do you think about money? And how do you feel around it? And here's some other questions that you can think about. And like I said, consider about rebuilding your relationship with money. Is like asking questions of, how do you feel about financially privileged people? How do you feel about financially deprived people? What beliefs did your parents hold about money? And this one's a huge, like, that was a huge eye opener for me. And for me, I grew up with parents that were blue collared, worked really hard, Midwesterner style. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, working hard is not equivalent to making more money. You can produce one course, you can produce one thing, and then make passive income out of it. So those are some questions that you can ask yourself. And other questions that you can ask are, you know, how important is money in your life? Why do you feel that way? Would you take a job just for the money, whether you may like it or not? And it's really interesting to ask yourself these questions, because I bet you a lot of times people don't even ask themselves these questions about money. And I want to let you know too, is that if you are someone that has an empty bank account, or you don't even have a concrete way of how you use every dollar, and you just don't have a plan, that is something that you want to take a look at and kind of see where that's going. And again, analyze and assess your relationship with money. And actually, having a money book is super helpful. So last year, I had a money book. And in that money book, I wrote about how I felt about money, when I used a certain amount of money for something, and how that made me feel. certain investments, and I even did my yearly reflection about what I use my money on. And for the most part, I was satisfied, and there's other things that I wanted to work on. But having a money book, it just brings awareness or conscious awareness again of how you have a relationship with money. So there's that. Oh, and here's another thing. I listened to a podcast the other day, and she talked about this, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's so on point. And she says something in the lines of, what are your non-negotiables about money? So obviously for me, that car repossession, and when I would literally empty all my bank accounts, I didn't have a non-negotiable for me. I was abusing it. I was allowing it to go and seep through such a heavy and negative and red account that was my normal. And so I had to reprogram myself and say, I am not willing to go under $2,000 for my emergency fund, or I am not willing to go under $20,000 of my savings account. And when you have that mindset of like, this is a non-negotiable, I am not willing to shake on this, then you're going to make it a non-negotiable. It's just a no-excuse policy, and that's it. That's that. Shake it off and move on to the next thing. Like that, that's just how it goes. And so again, what I really want you to get out of this episode is to know and to understand and to normalize. Like if you're an entrepreneur, normalize the things that you've done with money. It's okay. Give yourself compassion and forgive yourself. And also understand that you have the power to change that. You have the choice, and on a daily basis, to change that, to change your money story. And it's a work in progress, and it's a day in, day out progress. And you have to constantly think about and ask yourself these certain questions that I provided in this episode, and to be consciously aware of your unconscious habits. And I used to do that. Like, there were times, too, where when that happened, I was like, well, it doesn't matter anymore, so I might as well just spend more money. And then I would just spend and spend and spend and spend and spend. And then what ended up happening was that it confirmed my inner belief of I don't have the money anymore, or that I'm broke, or I have poor financial choices. So watch your behaviors, because what happens is that sometimes your behaviors will match what you actually believe inside of yourself. So that is what I have for you in this episode. I know this one was kind of all over the place, but I just wanted to get it out because it was on my mind, and obviously I need to get an episode for this week. Would love to hear your feedback. Let me know on the Instagram or drop me a message on Anchor. And I'm really excited to share more episodes as well as guests, future guests for 2020. If you have any feedback, love to hear it from you. And we'll see you on the next episode.